Let's read The Rust Monster. Max's mission log. We are traveling through space on board the Microshop Excelsior with our new friend, 8. We are trying to get home. Our only chance is to get to the Y-through wormhole, a space tunnel that should lead us back to our own galaxy. We don't have long. The wormhole is due to collapse very soon. If we don't get there in time, we'll be trapped in the Delta Zimmer galaxy forever. To make matters worse, a space villain called Badlaw is following us in his destroyer ship. Badlaw and his army of robotic crews want to take over Earth. We can't let that happen. Our new mission is simple, to shake off Badlaw and get to the Y-through wormhole before it collapses. I just wish it was as easy as it sounds. In our last adventure, we flew through an energy storm. There didn't seem to be any damage to the ship except for a glitch in the fabricator, a machine that can make or copy anything. I went to investigate. The fabricator went wrong. It made another me. Max, the 2, was the opposite of me, though. In fact, he wanted to do a deal with Badlaw. Max, too, teleported onto the destroyer and helped Badlaw download Excelsior database. We thought we were finished, but 8 had added an explode code to the database. It stopped the destroyer in its tracks. We are safe for now. Chapter 1. The Mist in Space. The Excelsior whizzed through the emptiness of the Delta Zimmer galaxy. On board, Max, Cat, Ant, and Tiger were worried. They were deep in outer space and hadn't seen any planets for a long time. Are we ever going to get the wormhole? It feels like we've been traveling for ages but not getting anywhere, said Tiger.
We are making good time, said Max, with the confidence he didn't feel. I just hope Badlaw isn't on our trail when we get there.
Ant shivered. Think of the problems that evil alien could cause on Earth.
I would rather not, Cat admitted. I run a scan for Badlaw's ship, just in case.
He pressed some buttons. No sign of a destroyer, but there is something up ahead.
Could it be the wormhole? Asked Tiger hopefully.
I don't think so, said Cat. We're not due to reach that for another 3 days.
Cat worked the scanner controls on her desk. A blurry shape slowly came into focus on the view screen.
A giant patch of red mist, said Ant, scratching his head. It looks like it's made of some sort of dust.
Whatever it is, it's in our way, said Tiger impatiently.
Let's steer around it, Max said.
Changing course, said Tiger, steering the Excelsior to the left.
That's strange, said Cat, peering at her screen. The mist is stretching out to the left, too.
Just then, 8 arrived on the bridge.
No, she cried when she saw the view screen. Impossible!
The friends gasped as a vast eye formed in the middle of the mist. It fixed up on the microchip.
It's alive, Cat whispered.
The mist creature growled. I'm rusting.
Its voice sounded like a deep yawn. I was sleeping, but you awoken me.
I knew it. It started to shake. I thought Rust Monsters were just an old robot legend, but now...
Suddenly, Rustin blurred and then took the shape of a fierce dragon. It reached out for the Excelsior with its rusty claws.
Don't let it touch us.
8 yelled.
Steer us away, Tiger, ordered Max. And we need speed level 6.
The engine roared as Ant pushed the acceleration lever. Tiger sent the Excelsior into a downward spin, but still Rustin brushed against the curved edge of the microchip. The clean white metal turned dirty, red-brown instantly and started to crumble.
The Excelsior is starting to rust, reported Ant. Tiger frowned. Metal takes ages to rust. How could it happen in just a couple of seconds?
Because Rustin is alive, it shivered. It feeds by sucking the strength out of metal and turning it into rusty scrap.
We'll have to land and make repairs, said Ant. If we take the ship through the wormhole, in this condition, it will fall apart.
Cat peered at her navigation screen.
The nearest planet is Goldmay Hill. It's over 3 hours away.
Then we haven't got a moment to lose, urged Max.
Rustin watched the damaged microship speed off. The monster had been sleeping in space for hundreds of years and had become slow and sluggish. The tiny taste of metal had sharpened its senses. Now it was hungry for more.
Rust monsters information. Rustin is one of the few remaining rust monsters left in the Delta Zimmer galaxy. Like huge patches of mist, rust monsters can stretch for hundreds of miles. They can live for centuries and are a danger to passing ships. Diet. Rust monsters eat any metal they can find. Habitat. They are found near planets rich in metal.
Shapeshifters. When resting, rust monsters look like harmless patches of copper-colored mist in space. However, when hungry, they can transform into terrifying monster shapes.
Chapter 2. Mission to Machio. Machio hung in space like a silver bubble. As the Excelsa approached, the children saw massive mines and smart cities covering the planet's surface. The damaged microship landed in a spaceport full of large machines. Big robotic aliens called machines were unloading rocks from a fleet of mining craft. Strange metallic balloons hovered in the air above.
Those robots don't look very friendly, said Cat nervously.
Maybe you should do the talking. Eight, Max suggested. The micro friends followed Eight outside. They all pressed their buttons and grew to normal size. Nearby machine caught sight of them and gasped.
Visitors,
she exclaimed.
Visitors, visitors, visitors.
Several machines gathered around Eight and the children.
Alien strangers.
Machian stepped towards Eight. She was bigger than the rest with a gold band circling her head.
My name is Chief Minor Ferran, she said. You weren't detected by our radar. We did not notice you arrive.
Our ship is very small, Eight pointed to the Excelsa. It is badly rusted. We have come to ask for help to fix it.
First, I must take you to the Prime Tower, said Ferran.
Eight swapped nervous looks with the children.
What happens there? She asked the miner.
Ferran smiled.
There you will meet our ruler. You can rest and will be given refreshments. Then we will help you mend your craft. We love visitors here on Meteo.
Phew! Tiger grinned as the other machines bowed low before the friends. They look tough, but they're very friendly.
The Prime Tower is in the city beyond the mine. It's tricky to get there on foot, though, said Ferran.
That's okay. We can fly, explained Max, unfurling his hollow wings.
Ferran climbed into the basket of a nearby metallic balloon, pushed a lever, and rose up into the air, and asked her how it was able to fly.
It's powered by magnetic dust, explained Ferran.
Together, they flew towards the Prime Tower, passing over deep metal pits as they went. To the friends' astonishment, the miners could walk up and down the sheer sides of the pit.
The walls of the pit are solid iron,
Ferran explained.
The miners have magnetic dust on their feet, too. So they can climb up, down the walls to dig out every last bit. Metal is very important to us. It's our only food.
Tiger pulled a face. I think I might give the lunch a miss. Cat grinned.
Me too. But with all this metal, it's the perfect place to fix the ship.
Soon, they reached the Prime Tower, a grand spiral-shaped building. Inside, an elderly Mechian with a golden body was waiting. She was seated on a gleaming steel throne.
"What is it, Sparkman?"
Ferrand whispered.
"She is our planet's leader."
"Welcome!" Sparkman held out her arms in a friendly gesture. "It's been ages since we've had visitors. Isn't that right, Ferrand?"
Ferrand bowed.
"It is indeed."
"We must have a feast,"
Sparkman clapped her hands. Immediately, the room started to fill with Mechians, laying a vast, regal table and bringing out plates of hot metal nuggets and glasses of gloopy oil. Tiger grimaced.
"Yuck!"
"Shh!" Max nudged him.
"Material is far from anywhere,"
Sparkman went on, crunching at a metal wafer.
"What brings you here, my friends?"
"We had to land before our ship fell apart. It looked uncomfortable. We ran into a rust monster called Rostern."
"What?"
Fern cried, jumping in the air.
A look of fear flashed across Sparkin's robotic face.
"Rostern?"
she stammered.
"Are you sure?"
"Yes," said Max with a shiver.
"It rusted the side of our ship in seconds," Tiger added. Fran groaned as she dropped back down into her chair.
"We have met Rostern before, our terrible creature. Hundreds of years ago, Rostern found its way to Mishio's twin planet, Makala,"
Sparkman explained.
"It turned all the metal there into rust. Buildings collapsed, robots fell apart. Only a few Makalans escaped."
"Since then, Makalans have lived here," Fran went on. "Luckily, we can mine enough metal for all of us."
Suddenly, a space phone on the other side of the room started to ring.
"Oh no, it's the Red Alert Hotline,"
said Fran, her metallic knees knocking together. Sparkman hurried from the table and lifted the handset.
"Hello, Prime Tower?"
She answered. As she listened, her joints seemed to stiffen in shock.
"I see."
She put down the phone.
"Our radar has detected a rust monster floating towards Michio. It's expected to arrive in just a few hours."
Friend's jaw dropped.
"That means the end of our world."
Chapter 3, Magnetic Matter. The children looked at each other in alarm.
"Rust must have followed us," said Cat.
"Once rust monsters taste metal, they need to have more,"
Sparkman sighed.
"We can repair your spaceship and you can escape, but we are doomed."
"Can't you at least evacuate the planet?" asked 8.
"Even if we had enough time, there's nowhere to go,"
said Sparkman. Ferran wiped an oily tear from her eye.
"Come, I will arrange for your ship to be taken to the nearest prepare workshop. We will do all we can to help you escape."
The children and 8 said goodbye to Sparkman with heavy hearts. They wished there was something they could do to help the Mechians. Ferran took them to a workshop. Some Mechian engineers started to rebuild the Excel saw's rusted hull.
"This is so kind of you, Ferran," said Cat.
As she spoke, she noticed a row of carts lined up in the corner of the workshop. They were piled high with something that looked like sparkling sand.
"What's that?"
"It's the magnetic dust we used to power the balloons," Friend replied.
"Magnetic dust?
And headed over to a desk covered in tools. He picked up 2 bar magnets and held them near to each other. They snapped together.
"I wonder..." "This is no time for experiments, Aunt," muttered Max.
"This could be important," Aunt shocked back.
"Look!"
He turned the magnets the other way around and tried to hold them together, but this time the magnets pushed each other away. Ferran looked puzzled.
"That is just magnetism, so what?"
"Yes, all magnets have 2 poles," said Aunt,
eyes shining with excitement. North and south. Opposite poles attract, so north and south pull each other close. But two of the same poles, say north and north, will push each other away. Anne turned to Fern. How much magnetic dust do you have?
12 bit,
answered Fern, confused.
But what uses it now? Tomorrow the mine will be destroyed.
Maybe, just maybe, the magnetic dust can save your world. Anne smiled. Let me tell you about this very wild idea I've had. Chapter 4. Flight of Fear. In no time, Fern had whisked the children and eight back to the Prime Tower. Sparkin was speaking on two phones at once when she saw the friends. She put the phones down and turned to them.
Rustin is heading straight for the city, she told him. I am clearing the whole area. It is the best we can do.
Perhaps not, said Fern. The visitors have a plan.
And nodded. If we can make Rustin magnetic, we can use magnetic power to push the monster back out into space. Sparkle looked confused. Cat held up the magnets and showed her how they pushed each other away.
I can help your people build a giant magnetic wave blaster, said 8. If it works, it will force Rustin away from this planet.
It's a good idea, but first you must magnetize Rustin, said Sparkin. How will we do that?
Using the magnetic dust, Max explained. We can fill the baskets of your balloons with it.
Then we will fly into the air pushing the balloons, Tiger continued. He pressed the button on his suit and his whole wings slid from his back. As Rustin swoops down to the city, we can scatter the dust in its path. Rustin will feed on the dust and become magnetic.
As soon as we are clear, it will fire her wave blaster to ripple Rustin back into space, said Cat.
Sparkin thought for a moment, then she slowly nodded her head and smiled.
It is a bold, brave plan. I just hope it works.
I will start on the wave blaster at once, said 8.
I must stay here and continue the evacuation, said Sparkin. Friend will help you.
Of course. Friend turned to the friends. Our workshop should have everything you need.
The friends returned to the workshop where there was no shortage of helpers. 8 was in her element, bleeping and whizzing around as she organized a whole team of machines to build the wave blaster. Meanwhile, Max, Cat, Ant, and Tiger filled the mining carts with magnetic dust and then loaded the dust into the balloons baskets. When their work was finished, Max, Cat, Ant, and Tiger followed Farron to a viewing platform. Farron picked up the space phone and called the Prime Tower.
The balloons were ready,
she said. Sparkin informed her that the city had been evacuated.
Not a moment too soon,
Farron replied. She put the phone down and walked over the window. A dark, sinister mist had appeared above the city.
Preston is here, said Cat.
Just then, Max's watch bleeped and the hologram of 8 flashed up.
The wave blaster isn't finished yet. We need more time.
There is no more time, replied Max urgently. We need to get the balloons in the air now. We can't wait.
Okay, 8 said anxiously. I will try my best.
Then the hologram flickered and disappeared.
We'll keep in touch through our helmets, said Max, running for the exit.
Outside, the friends fixed their helmets in place and activated their wings. Within minutes, they were high above the city, pushing the balloons in front of them. Rustin's copper mist swirled in the sky like scary storm clouds. Its eye was as big as a house.
Hey, Rustin, called Tiger, spitting straight at it. Look! Lovely metal dust.
Rustin's eye narrowed. Tiger tipped the dust out of his basket and watched as Rustin hungrily sucked it up. Then it devoured the whole balloon too. Tiger turned and zoomed back down to get another dust-filled balloon.
Max was the next to take the monster on. He flew in front of it and started throwing dust into the air. Rustin greedily vacuumed it up.
More!
It said, making a sweep for Max's basket. Max dodged the monster's claw just in time, but one side of his balloon had corroded. Suddenly, Cat and Ant swooped past in the opposite directions, emptying their baskets in front of the ravenous creature. Rustin sucked up every last speck of dust. Rustin then swooped towards the city. It smothered a skyscraper like a blanket, and in seconds, the building began to crumble.
Eight's voice crackled through Max's helmet. The magnetic wave blaster is ready. Max looked down. Far below, he could see a super-sized magnet pointing up from the roof of the workshop. Quickly, he contacted his friends.
Okay, guys, he said. Time to test out the wave blaster.
Chapter 5. Forced Out.
All right, Eight, Max said into his helmet. Rustin's all yours.
At Max's command, Eight jumped behind the wave blaster and switched on the power.
Here it goes. The wave blaster hummed loudly. Zap! It fired a powerful beam of magnetic force at Rustin. The rust monster shook. Trillions of tiny dust magnets glowed inside it like fireflies.
Despite the dust magnets reacting inside it, Rustin kept on sweeping at the metal building, searching for any untouched metal.
It's not working, yelled Cat.
A huge chunk of scrap flew through the air, clipping Cat's wings. Her wings sparked and she started to fall.
Shrink, Cat! Max shouted.
Cat pressed her watch and quickly shrank to micro-size. Max rocketed after her and caught her like a butterfly in both hands.
Nothing is happening, Eight, yelled Ant.
Rustin isn't magnetic enough, answered Eight. One more balloon should do it.
Leave it to me,
called Tiger as he flew past his friends. He was pushing another balloon full of dust.
Rustin was too busy devouring the city to notice Tiger hovering nearby. Then,
eat this, Rustin!
Tiger yelled, pushing the basket towards the creature. Rustin swallowed the dust and the balloon whole.
No aid!
Tiger shouted. Tiger flew away to join his friends as another wave of magnetic force shot at the rust monster. Whoosh! Rustin was pushed away with huge force, which sent the creature tumbling back into the depth of space. Max opened his palm out a little and looked down at Cat. She grinned.
Sorted!
The children landed and Cat grew back to normal size.
Sometime later, Sparkin welcomed all evacuated robots back to the city with a gigantic feast. Max, Cat, and Tiger and Eight were the guests of honor, although they couldn't eat anything. Ferran took charge of the Reapers to the Excelsa, and the microchip was soon good as new. They were ready to go. The children and Eight waved goodbye to their friends. Then they shrank and climbed back on board. Eight was delighted.
The ship seems better than ever.
Great news. Bella will be off our backs for a bit.
Cat smiled.
I just picked up the destroyer and the long-range scanner.
The view screen showed Bella's ship shooting through the stars with Rustin chasing after it.
Poor old Bella!
Tiger couldn't help but smile.
When we took Rustin back into space, it must have picked up the smell of a ship.
Fantastic! That musty misery will chase Bella away from us, said Ant.
I fear Rustin will be tired and confused now, said Eight. I think Bella may easily get away and will soon be on our trail again.
Max nodded.
In that case,
accelerate to level 5 and we have to make every second count.
I hope you enjoyed this story.